Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am a weirdly chill Dolly Davis, heading into our big Prince Charles Cinema screening tonight. And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. I'm very pleased to see you like this, because my wife and I were talking about this last night. That when you and I were backstage before our MediaCon show we did with Cultaholic, you were pacing back and forth. You were, like, muttering to yourself ever so slightly, because you just, and you had this look of dread on your face. And every time I looked at you, you just had this look that said, I don't want to do it. Don't make me do it. And then I made things worse by looking through and I said, oh, Jushin Thunder Liger's out there.
Yeah.
Oh, Kushida's out there as well.
All your favorite wrestlers.
All your favorite wrestlers are out
there. David Starr's out there.
Yeah, he's going to watch you do a show now. But, so when I was leaving the house today, my wife said to me, give Ollie a big hug. Just calm him.
Calm him down.
Like, you know, just make sure that he knows that everything's going to be cool. And I got in this morning, you were first here, and you were just like, hey, it's a live show tonight.
Yeah, I think, well, I feel like the heat's off a bit because we've actually organized everything.
Yeah.
For the MediaCon one, the segues just appeared 10 minutes before we were meant to go on stage. We hadn't really rehearsed anything with the Cultaholic guys.
Nope.
Essentially, it was 5 minutes of dance padded out to half an hour of fluff with talking.
Mm-hmm.
But at least this one is... And it's like people have come to say, we've sold a decent amount of tickets so far. That doesn't mean you can't come if you're thinking about it. We still need you to come. All the t-shirts have arrived. The magazines have arrived.
Brand new t-shirts are going to be there. So
people going got merch.
People going to the screen tonight are going to be the first to get their hands on our brand new set of merchandise. I don't have a t-shirt, but it's fine. Other people
do. We'll get them when we get there.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Fagador's got one. He's only been here a couple of months.
I mean, the weird... A t-shirt design?
Yeah, I've been here 2 years. It's okay.
You didn't come up with anything.
I bloody well did.
What was it?
I Control-C, Control-V. I gave you the all the other one stuff.
Well, the Fagador was always... The Fagador gimmick was always designed with merchandise. Yeah,
because it was so... It was toyetic is what it was.
But with all this exterior calm, I mean, the drugs are helping. That could be a part of it. The ashwagandha. But I this massive ulcer has appeared on the inside of my face.
It's the worst, isn't it?
It's catching on my tooth with every move. I think that's my stress. I've just put it all in that little pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I get ulcers quite bad due to my condition. So I get them.
Condition.
Like, I get ulcers on my tongue. I get them very bad throughout the year. But I actually had quite a good year for not getting ulcers. So we are getting ready for our Prince Charles Cinema show. Everything just seems to be, like, weirdly fine. Like, the magazine's there, as you say, the t-shirts are there. All we need to do is just show up. Like, we need to edit stuff, and then we can just leave. It's the opposite of Friday, when we were panicking to get everything done before we had to go to the Rev Pro show.
I think the Rev Pro show we went to was really good.
Thanks
to the Rev Pro people for accommodating
us. Oh, it was amazing. And what a great show.
Yeah, and meeting all the fans afterwards and hanging out with the wrestlers. Did we mention we went to Will Ospreay's after party and hung out with Shane Taylor from Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
And Will Ospreay fed us both apple sour shots from the bottle.
Which I was brushing out of my beard the following day.
Oh, it's sticky.
It's sticky. Mm. It's sticky, to rock a rhyme. Will was very accommodating as well, yes, when he wasn't bouncing around the place. What a wonderful little chap he is.
Is he injured?
Well, you say he's injured. He did an angle with Chris Brooks at the start of the show. Not Brooks. No, he did do it with Brooks.
Chris Brooks,
did it with Brooks after the show. Brooks turned heel on him. Yeah. So it was a bit weird. He didn't seem that injured, but it, he's still on Twitter I'm rehabbing. It's fine.
I think it's, you know, I can't wrestle a match.
Absolutely.
I recognise that's idiotic of me because I'm actually injured a serious amount for once.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I can't do everything else.
I cannot party.
You know, he loves wrestling, so...
He does.
It was just weird. It was the next day I thought, Will Ospreay is, like, one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Absolutely.
And he was just pouring apple sours down our throats. Yeah. That was a nice, humbling moment.
It was a very surreal night out, I think it's fair to be said. Mm. Watching Shane Taylor and David Starr playing beer pong, chatting with Viper for a little bit. I got into a conversation with David Starr about his main event match that he had with Tomohiro Ishii. And, yeah, I think I might have come across as a bit of a mark. Mm. I didn't have good Rusev Hayes.
Oh, no.
On that night. I think I got all my Rusev Hayes wrong. I did it wrong.
Oh, dear.
We were handing out flyers to promote the Prince Charles Cinema show after the Rev Pro event ended.
Very kind of them to let us do that
very,
as well.
Very, very kind. And I really wanted to buy a Mark Davis t-shirt because I think Mark Davis is awesome.
Of Aussie Open fame.
And I'm a big fan of Aussie Open. And I nearly bought one at the interval, but I needed to go and get cash. So by the time I'd got cash and got into the queue, Volta was making his entrance, and I really wanted to watch the Volta match. So I went to go and watch that instead. And then after the show, I ran back in so I could get my Mark Davis t-shirt, and he wasn't there. He'd already packed up. And I was like, oh, that's sad. But at least I can buy my Chris Brooks t-shirt, which I'm currently wearing now.
Great. It's a cool design.
It is a great, great t-shirt.
It reads, Death
by Roll-Up.
Death by Roll-Up.
Yes, which I've also got as stickers.
A number of Japanese katakana characters beneath Death.
And he is doing a big octopus stretch on like a skeleton. Mm. It's pretty cool. So Chris Brooks is awesome. But I didn't really have a great interaction with him either because I got too starstruck and I got a little bit nervous and I just sort of shook his hand. I was like, thank you. And I bought my t-shirt and he gave me some stickers and I was like, that's really kind. And then I ran into Shane Taylor. And Shane Taylor was very, very, not excited, but like, oh my God, guys. Like, I
was not expecting that.
Like, I watch your channel. I'm a big fan of the work you do. And then in my head, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I thought you were Shane Taylor, but clearly you're not because you've just said you're a big fan of this show. So clearly you're not Shane Taylor. And it was only... And I was like, oh, man, thank you so much. And I shook his hand. And then we sort of had this sort of awkward moment because I think he was expecting me to say something back.
Tell you some wrestling news.
Or something like that. And then I left. And I felt really awkward about it because as I was walking back, I was like, no, I'm almost sure that was Shane Taylor.
Oh, no.
And then when I saw him in the other part, I was like, no, it definitely was Shane Taylor.
You were scared of being accidentally racist.
I don't know what happened. I just lost all social skills. I did it all wrong. I did all my meets wrong. And then I was talking to David Starr afterwards, and I did that wrong as well. I didn't have a good night. That's why I went home early.
Aww.
I'll tell you early. I left at like 1:30. And it closed at 2:00. So I could have just stayed for that extra 30 minutes. Mm. But I just went and I just stood by a taxi rank sad on my own. And it was raining. And then a German guy asked me for a lighter, which I don't have one. I don't smoke. And then he found a lighter. And then he came up to me with his cigarette and just blew a drag in my face.
Oh, wow.
And then walked away. And I was like, oh, this
was it Bobby Guns?
I was like, this night's rubbish. Like, what's happened here?
I had a great time.
I had a bloody wicked time. But I did everything wrong. And then that happened. And I felt really bad.
I was just very... All my crushing guilt comes the next day, which I learned a name for. Beer fear. So that is, the next day, you just think everyone hates you. And you've said all the wrong things.
Yeah, I get beer fear quite a bit.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a...
Yeah.
I imagined it was a shared experience, but I didn't know it had such a catchy name. So I'm just like, oh, it's just beer fear. And I feel like I've labelled it. Now I can move on. But I was supremely drunk, and I was loving it.
You were having a wicked time. It was very nice.
Oh my god! So we've got to put over this one of the matches we saw, a complete delight. This guy comes out in is it a gi?
Yes,
a karate outfit.
A gi. Gi is what monks have in Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
And he comes out, and we're like, "Who's this guy? Who's this guy? What a cool 2018 gimmick, Karate Kid." He's like a white guy. Someone's going to say he's got Asian heritage now. But to me, he looked like a white guy.
Speedball Mike Bailey.
In a karate outfit. Speedball Mike Bailey.
Who I saw at the Rev Pro tapings, but didn't take much notice of, I don't think. And I don't recall his match. I recognised the name and I knew he was there, but clearly his match had no effect on me during those tapings.
Yeah, I feel like if he's Canadian, I've definitely seen a really good match with him before. But I'm just not, for some reason he's never registered in my head. Holy moly, he stole the freaking show.
He
was incredible. And then afterwards, I thought there was a guy, I thought he was in the after party where Will was having his after party. And I was like, Fakador, that's people. And Fakador goes, oh my God, yeah, it is. And I said, are you sure? Because I'll go over and say hi. And he goes, I'm not sure. And I said, I'm going to go and say hi. Walked over, are you Speedball? And he goes, no. I was like, oh, no, I loved your match. And he went, no, I'm not Speedball. And then my eyes kind of adjusted to the brightness. And it was not. It was like a 17-year-old kid.
Oh, mate. Was it Andy Datson?
No.
But anyway, let's jump into
the show. What a Rusev Hay that was.
What a Rusev Hay. We had some very bad Rusev Hays for
Rusev Nay. Yeah, but Shane Taylor's great.
Yeah, at least Shane liked you. So we've got a very special gift in the outro segment of this show, so please do stick around for that.
From Italia.
Yeah, I don't particularly enjoy this week's Raw. I feel like I'm a bit sad at the moment. But anyway, hear me talk about how great Becky Lynch is, but not much else on the show. Here's the Raw review.
It was a pretty, not tedious, it was just a very by the numbers, nothing inspiring show, because this is Survivor Series this Sunday after that huge 2-week build after Crown Jewel. So a lot of stuff was shoved in here. The tag team match is just a joke for this Sunday. But after all that, and I was ready to kind of hang it up and go, well, you know, Alexa Bliss's big announcement of who her team is. It's just heels and Natalia. Like, what a weirdly chosen team.
So it is the worst Survivor Series team possible.
Yeah, she. So the big main event was built around Alexa saying, I'm going to announce my team. And before she says, I'm going to have Nia Jax, I'm going to have Mickie James. You know, Mickie James always been in cahoots with, well, not all the time. Sometimes she's a babyface with Bliss. But then all of a sudden, Nia Jax is friends with Bliss as well.
Well, what Alexa Bliss says is like, well, I hope we can put aside our differences.
Yeah.
And Nia essentially went, yes, we can. Cool. So all that build, all those storylines we were telling earlier this year, swept under the rug because they're both heels now. Ergo, they have to be friends.
So it's pretty lazy storytelling.
Awful storytelling.
I guess at least they addressed it. I don't know what I prefer. And then you've got Tamina.
Yeah. So they are really, like, they're really into this Tamina push at the moment. Or are they just into a Nia Jax push and Tamina is just a part of that? Oh, you have a theory?
They're into Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey can't just go up against Nia Jax. That's happened already.
Just one dominance character.
Yeah.
No, she has to go up against two dominance characters.
You've got Tamina is being used to get over Nia Jax, who is being used to get over Ronda Rousey.
Sweet.
They play a few moves ahead of us.
That's why I'm terrible at chess.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, Chad Gable's getting a super push. Oh no, it's to get over Connor. Mm-hmm. Oh no, that's probably to get over John Cena eventually when he comes back for a Royal Rumble match or spot. Just like all this is just done for a spot. But, so you've got that, and then weirdly, Bliss just goes, and Natalia's going to be there too, but she's not here right now.
But like, why? Yeah, she's like, so she announced Natalia for the team, which is, but with everything she's gone through on today's show, I've sent her home because she's too distraught. And I'm like, why didn't you pick someone surely Alicia Fox in kayfabe makes more storyline sense?
Yeah.
Because they're friends. They're already established as friends. And then Alicia Fox just came out at the end. I thought Alicia Fox wasn't there, and that's why she wasn't picked. I was like, it's so weird then to have four heels and your one babyface, Natalya.
And not just that. Oh, were you going to say not just four heels, but one of those heels is Ruby Riott, who was eventually revealed, and they're locked in this kind of blood feud disrespect storyline.
Blood feud, big air quotes.
So
I think feud is even big air quotes.
Blood. Tamina. Alexa, I don't think you know how to use air quotes correctly.
I'm sorry.
That's relevant. That's a John Cena film. That's in Steve.
I thought you were referencing Friends.
Oh, air quotes. No, that's it's John Cena in Blockers.
Yes, but it was a Friends joke many, many years ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
oh, damn.
Joey doesn't know how to use that.
Everything comes round. So Bliss says, well, for the last spot, it's going to be Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Because I want to see like two best friends try to compete to get this final spot.
Yeah, and like I want to see that killer instinct. Who's got what it takes to stab their best friend in the back? And I'm there going like, Sasha Banks heel turn.
You fool.
I know. They had what I thought was a really inventive match. I love some of the spots. They really, like, they know how to work together very well, Banks and Bayley. I was really enjoying it.
It was fine, yeah.
It was fine. But then Nia Jackson to Tamina run in, beat down Bayley and Banks.
You can tell that Raw's not used to this, not having the overrun, because this went through two commercial breaks, but when it came back from the second one, it was literally like the Banks statement was being applied and Tamina and Jax ran in for the DQ. It's almost like, oh, we haven't got that extra 15 minutes, have we? We need to go to the end now.
Yeah, I mean, it's 20 years they've been in this pattern, so this is quite
just a get back into the swing of
learning
things.
Curve. And then Bliss says, ha ha, it was never really that. Here's Ruby Riott. And I thought, God. That's your go-home angle. But then...
Thank God.
It cuts backstage quite chaotically, which would get kind of obnoxious after a while because Kevin Dunn's camera was just aggressively zooming in and out and shaking everywhere. Mm-hmm. But backstage in the locker room is Becky Lynch applying in a SmackDown t-shirt.
God, I hate they're all wearing the same t-shirt.
It's not that bad.
It is that bad.
It's not the baddest.
It's not the baddest.
It's not the baddest.
It's not the baddest thing on the planet.
And Becky has Ronda locked into this armor.
So awesome.
And Ronda's like, Becky Lynch, awesome, of course.
So cool.
She looks great. Ronda's selling again.
Thumbs up. Because so great.
It really looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
But I never thought, oh, Ronda's in, like, well, I thought she was in trouble, but it's as if Becky let go of that move. Ronda was just going to get right up and start beating on her because she looked furious. Like, I'm in so much pain, but I'm going to kick your ass when you let go of me.
When she stormed down to the ring, I'm like, why don't we get this Ronda all the time? Mm. I don't like smiley Ronda, but this Ronda's ace.
Yeah, so that was really good. And Becky gets up. And what did she say? I've got it
in my
notes.
You got the line there, yeah.
It was, everyone's tough until the man comes around. Remember that.
So
everyone's tough until the man comes around. Of course, the man comes around is a Johnny Cash song. Mm-hmm. She's referring to herself as the man.
Yep.
Oh.
So awesome. She is absolutely the best. Like, I made this joke in my news, but there is so little interest going into Survivor Series across all of the matches, except for Ronda and Becky Lynch. And I think that is... I credit to Ronda. I think she was very good at this. She cut an awful promo on this show. but I think that Becky...
Talking about millennial, man.
Oh, dear, we'll get on to that. But, like, 85% of this is all Becky. And I think why people are so invested in this match is because everyone is so invested in Becky. And we're looking to see, are WWE going to pull the trigger and give Becky the win? Mm-hmm. Give her Ronda's first loss in WWE? You're shaking your head, but, like... I think they're going to go with it.
No.
Well, I am so behind Becky on this. I think they're going to go with Becky at the Survivor
Series. I mean, like, I don't, like, even from if my heart wasn't invested, I think that's a terrible idea. Just do a screwy finish. It's for interpromotional stuff, very rarely do you have clean finishes because you want to protect both champions.
Did last year.
And then Brock and AJ.
Yeah.
But I guess you...
And so, I think it's Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss. I think even actually the majority of the matches there were.
I mean,
clean
well,
finishes.
Historically in better booked territories, and you know, because it's very difficult. Well, I guess the thing is here in actual interpromotional warfare, you've got two different businesses looking out for their own champion. But here, it's actually one business that just likes Raw.
Yes.
So that's why they always book the Raw people to go over. I can't remember who won Charlotte and Bliss, though.
I'd imagine Charlotte won? I don't know. Yeah. I remember Brock won, that's about it. And Triple H won.
But the idea is AJ proved himself, I suppose. SmackDown, those plucky upstarts.
All right,
they gave
Pritchard.
It a good go. I'm Pritchard in. But yeah, so where was I? Oh, Becky, yeah.
She's the best thing in WWE.
I think that there is a bigger money match between these two, so I wouldn't blow off the result at Survivor Series.
What Raja are reporting is that it's going to be like Tamina and Nia Jax are going to essentially cause the distraction, or, as Dave Meltzer has speculated, not reported, is that Charlotte Flair is going to get involved and help her former best friend win, and that's going to set up the Horsewomen match at WrestleMania next year.
Okay, yeah, that's very interesting. But the way this was all framed, so Becky then comes down to the ring.
Oh, she looks just amazing. Despite the crap T-shirt, she just looks awesome.
Cockily walking down.
Oh, it's amazing.
Grinning on her face. And the Team Raw women, they're all still in there, and they're looking
standing
at Becky.
In a row.
Yep. And then all the SmackDown women's roster run in there and start wailing on everyone.
Yeah, not just the Survivor Series team, the entire roster. And this is where I took issue with the segment. I thought, overall, the big picture takeaway from this was thumbs up segment because it made Becky look absolutely awesome. It made Ronda look awesome. That match looked great. But the other match that's on the Survivor Series card looked stupid. Because all of a sudden, the storylines that we've been building on SmackDown for the last couple of weeks were just thrown out the window for this cheap moment.
Well, it isn't a cheap moment, but
it's
yeah,
a cheap
it was.
Pop.
It was. Yeah, they
did this to get a cheap pop.
They undermine. But I don't think it's a cheap pop when it's the go home angle
but
to your.
But if you did this with just the Survivor Series teammates, then you wouldn't have got the bigger reaction you would have done, but they had Charlotte out there as well to get an even bigger reaction, which I thought undermined
totally.
The story that they were telling on SmackDown.
So I don't,
and throughout this episode of Raw.
I don't think it was a cheap angle, but that was a really short-sighted move to have Charlotte out there because, I mean, what did it add? There were so many people in there. All eyes were on Becky. What's the point of adding in Charlotte, who, over the last few weeks, has been AWOL on SmackDown? She walked away from Paige saying, I don't want to be the team captain of the women at Survivor Series. And then the week after, she didn't come out when Paige was announcing the team.
And throughout Raw tonight, when they were putting up the graphic for who's going to be on the team, Charlotte was never featured. And they kept saying on commentary, we don't know if Charlotte's going to be part of the women's team. We'll probably find out that on SmackDown. And then there's just Charlotte there with all of them, just fighting alongside Becky Lynch, no less. And Mandy Rose is out there, despite the fact that last week Mandy Rose had her grievances with the SmackDown roster for not being part of the team. And all of this is just like, why were you all there? Why are you fighting together? What purpose does it serve for you to put aside your differences to fight for this common cause?
Okay, you've won me over. Including people who aren't in the team.
Iconics were there.
Yeah. This, like you said, that's a very significant flaw, but this was so Becky look so great.
Yes.
And a big part of that was Becky getting busted open. Her nose was obviously clocked pretty hard, and she was covered in blood.
I can't work out where it is, because the first thing I saw was that she's got blood all over her hands. And I was like, where did the blood come from? And then I saw it was just pouring out of her face. And I think someone said on our Discord channel it was from a Nia Jax elbow. So that's the only thing I can tell so far.
I took a couple of anti-nausea pills and then I re-watched the footage, which it's very difficult to figure out what's going on because the camera is zooming in and it's awful.
It is the
zooming
worst.
Zooming in and zooming out and moving around.
It makes it so unwatchable.
And like 3-second cutting rates, which is just so over the top and so disorientating, and you lose all sense of place. And I get that you're trying to convey the chaotic atmosphere and what's happening, but I'm not a fan of that visual style, and I don't think it works.
Well, it made me laugh when I was going through your notes earlier, when we were trying to come up with a title for this. And one of your first notes in this segment is like, Charlotte's not there. That's a really good thing. Yeah. And then I was like, oh no, wait, she is there. And that's because it's so impossible to tell where anyone is at any one time. I was like, oh my God, Alicia Fox is there. Is that Mandy Rose? Is Dana Brooke there? I have no idea what's going on anymore.
Yeah, so, which adds to the point, why even have them out there?
Yeah.
And
not in a good way either. Not like, God, this feels so chaotic. It's just like, I don't know where the chess pieces are in this.
Because I thought initially, like, good move. You're playing this perfect. Charlotte isn't in the segment. And then I was like, God, Mandy Rose did a really Charlotte-like spear there. But you never see Charlotte's face.
Yeah.
It's just always covered by her hair. And then I thought Lana was Charlotte for a bit. it was very confusing. Anyway, I think what happens is Nia Jax comes over. And Becky is thrown to the floor. And then Becky goes over to the ring, the ropes, and sort of composes herself. Then Dana Brooke runs in and they have a little brawl. But then the camera's cutting away and everything. And when it comes back after the Dana Brooke bit, Becky's just covered in blood.
Right.
So it's like, and she's really like sort of, I don't know if she's massaging her nose to make more blood come out, but that would be awesome if she did.
I just like to get on her hands.
Yeah.
Then she started wiping on her chest, which added even more to the visual of it, which is awesome.
She was doing a beatdown spot in the corner, and she wiped her face and just flung it into
the audience. Oh, my God, she's so good. Yeah. She's amazing.
So it was either that Nia Jax or Dana Brooke bit.
Yeah.
Both have history with stray forearms and elbows. And then Becky Lee, Ronda Rousey runs down.
Looking wicked.
Yeah, but still selling the arm, so she's only fighting with one arm. She has a little bit of a comeback, but Becky gets a chair. Boom, 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 boom.
Hits her specifically in the arm. She targets the arm, so they're putting over the story that Ronda is going into that match the underdog because she's injured. Whereas Becky is 100%, despite the broken nose. She is fully ready to go.
And it's a match based around arm bars.
Yeah.
And one of those people is now lacking an arm.
Brilliant.
Yes, I can't... It does provide an excellent story. Makes you really excited. The closing visual is Becky in the stands with the blood over... with the blood over her face. And she's like, yeah, I'm awesome. Some guy tries to high-five her.
Yeah, high-five. She's like, no.
No, I've got blood
on my
hands. Yeah. I want the blood. And then it cuts weirdly. Like, that is... And it's total Money in the Bank 2011. Like, that's your shot. You close on CM Punk blowing the kiss and then leaving through the crowd with a WWE championship that he's just won and he's going to leave the company. But no, in that instance, they cut to Vince McMahon looking sad and that's your closing visual. And here, they cut to Stephanie McMahon watching this backstage with Baron Corbin saying, oh, how could you have let this happen? This is really bad. Just like GCSE level acting.
Yeah.
And it just like added nothing. It's like, because Stephanie's the star here. It's the authority figure. That's the most interesting storyline, right? Incorrect, WWE. It's Becky and Ronda.
Well, it's because I'd imagine Stephanie was looking at the running order and realised, I'm in a segment with a man, but I'm not emasculating him. So I think maybe I need to have one of those segments as well. Can we squeeze one in somewhere?
Yeah.
And they just thought, well, Baron... We'll just do it with Baron then.
Thankfully, the very last shot was on Ronda looking, I'm going to get my revenge. So, what a hot storyline. It's actually made... I mean, Survivor Series is really a one-match card.
Really is.
I want to watch Brock and AJ, but there's no story there. It's just, they had a great match last year. I want to see what happens next.
Yeah.
But that, like, Becky and Ronda, it's got to be the main event, right?
Well, someone posted me about this on Twitter today saying, like, do you think it's the main event? And I said the same thing. It has to be at this point. It's the only match with any interest. It has to be the main event. I mean, likely it'll be the 5-on-5 men's team because Shane McMahon's the main event. He's the big storyline because it's about the best in the world.
Yeah.
Because now it's Stephanie wanting to get revenge on Shane for disrespecting Raw by winning the best in the world. So really, I think that match will go on last. But all of the interest is in Becky and Ronda. So that, for me, that should be the main event.
We should make that an extra Survivor Series prediction. When our predictions go up on Friday, what's the main event's going to be. Because I'm planting myself for Rousey and Becky.
God, I hope it is.
Dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. Quicken, dig, dig.
Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie El Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and RAs.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a pew! He's got a pew!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So it opens, Raw opened with a Remembrance Day package, but they don't call it Remembrance Day over there.
Veterans Day.
Veterans Day.
Yes.
So army stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had...
Okay, so I didn't like this episode of Raw that much because I think aside from the Becky Lynch Ronda stuff and the Seth Dean angle, there was nothing of worthy note on this show. I actually thought most of it was very, very bad. And this show got off to a dreadful, dreadful start.
Yeah, it's...
a dreadful start.
Especially with the... I mean, they haven't done loads of work to build the tag division. And stupid me for kind of getting invested in it when they do tease like they're going to care about it. But this really put the tag teams at a certain level. Everyone's already in the ring, so it's like Chad Gable and Bobby Roode.
The Ascension. B-Team, Revival.
Heath Slater and Rhino. I forgot B-Team were a thing.
They're in the team.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all in the ring, and they're having a battle royal for what?
The captaincy of the Survivor Series tag team elimination match. That was announced on commentary. I believe it was anyway.
But we didn't even know the lineup.
Well, no.
Which is just, it's just all those teams.
Yes.
And Lucha House Party is there as well.
All three of them were in the ring as well, which Corey Graves kept saying, well, that's unfair.
Yeah, it was just complete nonsense.
But before really anything can happen in that match, Braun Strowman comes down and squashes everyone and just makes the entire tag team division look irrelevant. Because out of the back of this, off the back of this match and the replay they do of it later on, who are AOP's next challengers? Who actually looks credible now to face Authors of Pain? Because Braun Strowman took out 13 men on his own. So they're all rubbish. It's so damaging.
Yeah.
It's the DX treatment. DX did the same thing back in 2006, which is why I hate that DX run. And this is just, now that there's no way to care about the tag team division on Raw.
It's one thing to only beat up the jobbers like Heath Slater and Rhino, B-Team. They're at a certain level where Braun...
Team champions, yeah, B-Team.
But, well, they were never convincing. The whole gimmick was that they fluke one stuff and then actually won stuff.
Yeah.
And then treated it like a fluke.
Yeah, they got good.
It was confusing. And if they were all beaten up by Braun, fine. Like, that's fine. But to have The Revival and Chad Gable and Bobby Roode in there, like, people who you want to be at the top of that respective division, like, all these divisions should kind of be battling on a level of, like, skill-wise, and you should have tiered talent within that. Just take out the bottom-tier talent. But as you said, this completely undermines the tag division.
It was so bad.
But it does make Braun look very strong. I can't argue that.
Well, I mean, as if he didn't look strong already. It's not like I went into the show thinking, like, God, no, Braun's a massive wuss, isn't he?
I disagree. After the Crown Jewel stuff where he looked weak, and I criticised it last week, where he needed to come out and beat everyone up.
But he beat up the security guards.
Yeah, but it was all a bit weak, and then he just chased Baron Corbin around. I didn't like the Braun Strowman stuff last week. So I can't sit here and say this doesn't make him look strong. Like, at least it makes him look strong.
I don't think that you sacrifice an entire division. For one person.
Then he's cleared everyone and he says, "This episode is brought to you by the monster among men, Braun Strowman." And he sits down in the ring. Then Stephanie McMahon's entrance music hits. Yep. I knew she was advertised last week, but I was not prepared for how much I hate that song.
Oh, mate, tell me about it. Hate it. Hate it.
So Stephanie comes down and she's just like... there was a point a couple of years ago where I was like, Stephanie is an amazing promo. The only thing wrong with her is that she doesn't get her receipt enough. She doesn't let people get one up on her enough. Now I just don't like her. I just flat out don't... It's like go away heat on the television.
I've genuinely thought Raw has been more enjoyable this year because she's barely been around.
Yeah.
And same with SmackDown. When Shane wasn't there, I was really enjoying SmackDown for the most part. But now the pair of them are back, and it's back to this sibling rivalry about how Stephanie really wants Raw to be the dominant brand, and Shane really wants... I'm like, well, where have you been all year then? Why do you only care this one time of the year?
Yeah.
And that's why I hate Survivor Series now. I used to love Survivor Series, but I hate this Raw versus SmackDown nonsense, which leads to nothing. Because come next week, none of this will matter.
Hmm.
And it's a waste of time. Really, really irks me.
Yeah, because it's Mixed Match Challenge that should get that number 30 spot decided. Not yeah. The Survivor Series stipulations.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, you're right.
Mixed Match Challenge needs to stip there because people are really invested in those matches.
All five people watching that show.
All five people watching that dance break. So, yeah, like, Stephanie just... when I say I don't like Stephanie, I mean her as a character, by the way.
Yes.
I don't know her as a person, I can't judge. But
same with Shane.
I find her very off-putting as an on-screen character now. And she doesn't even cower to Braun.
Because she's Stephanie,
I
man.
No. And she's like saying, you need to be on Team Raw. And Braun says, I don't give a crap about that. She says, but I've got to prove that we're the better brand against my brother Shane. He's like, I don't care about Shane, which got a great pop from me included. And he just wants a Universal title match and Baron Corbin.
Well, she offered him planes, trains and automobiles.
I don't care about planes, trains and... This is a bad segment. And Stephanie
good
said,
film as well.
Okay, you can have those if you be on Team Raw this Sunday.
But the key to this is that Baron Corbin can't get these hands until after Survivor Series. So you play ball at Survivor Series, and if you win, then you get to get Baron Corbin after Survivor Series, which I imagine will be at TLC. Which, in theory, puts him out of the running for winning Mixed Match Challenge, unless he pulls double duty.
Yeah.
Because him and Ember Moon are currently 3-0. I only know this because I had to do it as part of my news episode today. Otherwise, wouldn't have had a Scooby-Doo. Didn't even know they were a team, really.
So then Ronda Rousey interrupts this. Oh, yeah, it's because... didn't Ember Moon replace someone?
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss, of course.
Yeah. There are four teams that are 3-0 in that series. It's
like the G1.
It's just a beautifully booked tournament. Yeah, it's Braun and Ember Moon, Bobby Lashley and Mickie James, AJ and...
I've already lost interest. AJ and Ronda comes out next, and she grabs the mic out of Stephanie's hand.
Nice touch.
Which was good. And then she cuts a promo on Becky Lynch, but she says, hey, I'm here right now. I can just rip off your arm. And Stephanie still didn't, seem scared enough.
Yeah.
Considering everything that's happened this year, I'm really done with Stephanie. And then Baron Corbin comes out because Stephanie can't take any kind of bumps.
Well, what I do like as well, actually, on this, was that when Ronda came out, there was a light smattering of Becky chants. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But as soon as Ronda grabbed the mic and said, Becky Lynch is my first real challenge, huge Becky chants out of the arena.
Both of them are treating this feud on promos so well.
Yeah. But yeah, then Baron Corbin comes out because we need Ronda to hit someone and it's not going to be Steph. She's wearing nice heels. Mm.
And Baron says, this is a must-win situation.
Why?
And he puts his hands on Ronda like, hey, don't do that. Which he really should have learned not to do by now. He's done this to multiple people.
Yeah.
And then got beaten up immediately after. So Ronda judo throws him. I know it's not the most devastating move in the world, but Baron stands right back up. Can he just be on the floor for a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gets up and Braun's in his face.
And then says... I mean, it's not the worst line of the show, but it's pretty bad.
I'll neuter you.
Yeah, because he's calling Baron Stephanie's little lapdog. But after Survivor Series, he's going to neuter Baron. Cool.
I'd neuter you if you had any balls left. Yeah. But anything would be better. This was bad. This was not just bad and uninteresting. You know, it was actively damaging to people, which is the tag division. So This is a big fat... We'll give it a down.
A thumbs down. That's a down. Are we grading this now?
No.
only idiots do that.
But for our next WTF moment, Tamina beat Ember Moon. Yeah. Come on, guys.
Michael Cole at the start of this match said, Ember Moon idolized Nia Jax. I was like, when? When did this happen? You can't just pretend these things exist.
Nia Jax isn't this veteran of the business. They roughly started around the same time.
Remember that? It was like, Alicia Fox is a real pioneer about women's wrestling in WWE.
Yeah, so Alexa Bliss is watching this match from backstage because she's going to use it to inform her Survivor Series team selection decision. I thought Ember got the better of Tamina. I just love watching Ember wrestle. And then they had a Jax stare down. She had a stare down with Jax. And then Tamina got on top. Then Ember does a dive outside to take out Nia in the equation. Nia just no-sells it.
Yeah.
Ember just bounces off of Nia.
Cool visual.
It was a cool visual, yeah. And that would be a really good build to an Ember-Nia match. But that's not what's happening here. It's all building to Nia Ronda.
Yeah.
So Ember is just someone there to be used to get other people over.
Poor
Inexplicable.
Poor old Ember Moon. Mm. Poor old Ember Moon, man.
So Ember goes up to hit the total eclipse, and Jax motions to distract. Tamina wins with the splash.
It's the worst splash. She needs a new finisher. Like, I know where Dad and everything is Jimmy, but, get a new finisher, mate. Because you can't do that splash convincingly.
Ember, yeah, and then they both beat down Ember afterwards.
Sweet.
Meh. But then we got a Seth Rollins in-ring interview with Corey Graves.
Our first of many talking segments on this show.
And hey, this is a new age in WWE. It's all about male and female equality. So Corey Graves Thanos'd away as well. He's there to just ask one question to Seth, hold a microphone and then disappear.
Well,
that is beautiful progression.
It really is. So Corey Graves was out there And obviously they want to talk about the Dean Ambrose situation, but Survivor Series this Sunday, and Seth Rollins has a match. You might not know it because this company's done a terrible job of promoting it, but he has got a match this way as a first time ever match against Shinsuke Nakamura.
It's a dream match.
And Corey Graves, they're going like, you've got a match against Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, it's Raw versus SmackDown. It's very important that Raw wins this, I guess. What are you going to do to prepare this? And Seth says, in so many words, I don't care about that match. Cool. Awesome. Why should I then?
Yeah.
Why should I care? What a... Why script that? Why script a line in a promo that essentially tells the audience, don't care about that match because it's inconsequential? Really, the bigger story is me and Dean. Why is the match there then? Why even bother having the match?
Yeah, yeah. It was bad. But thankfully, Dean Ambrose saves this in a Becky Lynch kind of savior way. By appearing on the screen. This is probably why Renee Young wasn't allowed to interview Seth, actually.
Well, yeah, she has to be there by
now
Michael Cole.
Now she's canon his wife.
Yeah, she's got to stand husband. By Michael Cole to be like, I don't know.
Mm. He just comes home, he says he doesn't want to talk about work, honey.
And we watch Stranger Things. Yeah.
We've seen it like 8 times already. He loves it. He loves it.
In all fairness, me and my wife are on our third rewatch of the first season.
So Dean isn't just on the Titantron in a usual doing a interruption thing way. He is sitting on the car bonnet of a red sports car. That's the official brand, Red Sports. Mm-hmm. And it's next to an oil drum.
If my knowledge of Streets of Rage is correct, I believe it's an oil drum. Or like Street Fighter 2.
On fire.
Yeah.
It's just there. This felt very Attitude Era.
I loved it. I thought it was a really cool visual. And then Dean cuts a very, very great promo. Really, really cool. And he's mocking Seth. And I thought this was really, really nice when he was like, what was he talking about? He's saying like he sat in the hood of this car and he's kind of mocking people for wanting answers. Like, oh, Dean, why'd you do it? Dean, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it on Tonight of All Nights? Which I thought was a really great line because everyone hates that Michael Cole line of like, not on Tonight of All Nights. And I just thought this was awesome. You talked about like, hey, Seth, you're probably thinking that you were too selfish, that I turned my back on you because of you. But that's just the self-absorbed attitude that you always have. Really, the Shield just made me weak. Mm. I thought it was a brotherhood, but really, I was a worse person for being in that team. And he douses his jacket in water. It's supposed to be gas. And then he throws it into the... If he'd poured that in gas and then thrown it onto the fire, there would have been more fire. But the fire stayed exactly the same level.
Chemistry demonstration.
I don't know, but also I thought, please don't pour
white magnesium.
In all fairness, I thought, I hope that's not real gas. You're next to a car. I've seen enough Schwarzenegger films to know that can't end well.
You want pyro? Dean's gonna give you pyro. Crazy Dean.
And so he douses it in water and he throws it into the oil drum. And he burns his flak jacket from the Shield. I thought this was a really cool segment. And then he goes, burn it down.
Yeah, a really, really good working of, you know, someone's character and catchphrase into an angle. Mm. Yeah, really, really good. And Dean also put over how Seth always treated him like just the crazy guy.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, that was your gimmick. You had a t-shirt that said lunatic fringe.
Crazy haircut.
But it was really good. I said on my review that it looked like Dean was doing a WWE.com nostalgia photo shoot for the Attitude Era.
It did look like, what it looked like. It looked like a promo for WWF Warzone on the PlayStation.
But that was very good. Drew McIntyre comes out next after video.
First of all, Kurt Angle's music plays and the crowd goes crazy. It's like, hey, Kurt Angle's here, you suck. And finally, the record scratch is put to use because it Dolph Ziggler's music hits. Boo! Heat. They used it to create heat rather than just being an annoyance.
He should have come out dressed as Kurt Angle, though. That's how this whole gimmick started for Dolph. Coming out in different... last year.
It's a year now he's been having that awful record scratch.
And then he left. And he was really interesting.
And then he just came back.
And then he came back.
At the Royal Rumble. Just came back.
Yeah.
He vacated that United States Championship. And it led to nothing. Good work.
And, you know, he's like, you'll be in these big storylines, they said. You'll get to be in the final of the Best in the World tournament, they said. And now he is like this. This Drew McIntyre promo, which is what it turned into, really definitively was the power dynamic here has changed. Dolph is now my lackey. Mm-hmm. It's not like Drew was ever Dolph's lackey, but
yeah, they were on the same level. But now Drew is very much up here.
Yeah, and Dolph was. Drew, I always felt, was more Dolph's bodyguard. He was the one interfering in Dolph's matches more than the other way around. But this was now like, no, I'm Drew, and I'm going to command you to have a match with Finn.
Yeah.
It was very much that.
Well, did you hear why Dolph got to the finals of the World Cup? Because we did think it was weird at the time. It's because they didn't want Shane beating Seth or Kurt Angle. So Dolph had to go through.
But don't they see that because Dolph beat those people,
well, no,
and because that means Seth beat Dolph, who beat both Seth and Kurt.
Yeah, but it's not really worked that way, is it? It's just that Dolph was the one who made it. Shane only beat Dolph. He didn't beat Kurt Angle, and he didn't beat Seth Rollins.
That's not how tournaments work.
It's not the G1, mate. That's how you book the G1. You look at Mixed Match Challenge as your template, and you just copy that.
Gato's sitting there like, why didn't I think of that?
Instead of basing it all around wins and losses and making those seem important, I should really just focus on one guy.
WWE are really just leading the creative force in wrestling today.
They really are.
Poor
just making
Gato.
People care about storylines and characters.
He tries.
And wins.
Gato tries.
It's just not
He's
good
never
enough.
Be on the level of Road Dogg.
No.
So Finn Balor interrupts Drew ragging on Kurt Angle, which I thought was very good. Drew cut a good promo, made fun of Kurt for crying.
Yeah, he was like,
I was like, up yours, Drew. It's not cool.
It's because Kurt's your favorite wrestler ever. Oh. I looked into the eyes of a beaten man. Oh, I thought Drew was awesome here.
And he also said something that I hope he expands on, which is there will be no more nostalgia acts on this show.
Mate, where were you at Crown Jewels? Not really all over the wazoo.
Yeah, not just because like that's a cool gimmick, essentially a legend killer gimmick. It's just I don't want them either. I want new people. And Finn Balor comes out because he was laid out by the Claymore last week. Wants a match with Drew. Drew teases it but says, "Now you're going to face Dolph."
Yeah.
Good heel move.
And I like this. It was he said if Finn can beat Dolph, he might lower himself down to Finn's level, which in theory is good, but also it's because you're small, mate, and I'm very tall. We just got more of that leftover content from that big Cass Daniel Bryan feud earlier this year.
It's the feud.
God damn, it's good. It's good. We just can't afford to lose this stuff.
The people's height jokes don't date. They might just have a box.
Always get over.
Evergreen insults. So this was, this match starts. Drew attacks Finn, like blindsides him, and then the bell rings. Like, okay. So I would just, if I was Dolph, I would just keep on attacking Finn now. Nah, into the rest hold. I am sick to death of Dolph Ziggler matches. They get good near the end, but that does not warrant 10 minutes of rest holds beforehand.
Yeah.
And I get like, oh, I'm a heel, I'm getting heat. I was like, but I'm not into the heat. Like, it's not working. People are bored. Stop with the sleepers. Stop with the headlocks.
We did a review for Ramble Club of the Volta Will Ospreay match from OTT's 4th anniversary. And Volta, in that match, used a rest hold to perfection. He used that rest hold to generate genuine heat. And we mentioned on that review, it's like, it's the total like opposite of what Dolph Ziggler does. Dolph Ziggler does it because he doesn't have anything else he can do.
But he does.
Which is the most maddening thing.
I think him personally and the agents think this is how you get heat. But it's like, that's a decade old.
Mm-hmm. But like WWE's main thing at the moment, I guess, and Brian Alvarez pointed this out last week, that like last week only one babyface got a moment. Like only one babyface won a match. And this week was the same again. It was so heel heavy with the heels working over the baby faces and the baby faces very rarely getting something back.
It's a heel promotion.
It used to be a baby face promotion.
When?
Back in the day, that was Hogan era.
Oh,
was
right,
a baby
back
face
then,
promotion.
Yeah. I mean, that was like.
Actually, in the Attitude era, it was a baby face promotion. Rock.
Vince was.
Was a heel, but Austin was the guy. Yeah. And Austin was always the one winning.
I guess so, but the company was owned by. Like, the morality of the actual promotion in kayfabe was heel.
Yeah.
And then you had, like, right, that's what I say when I say heel promotion.
Okay, John Cena
like,
as
right
well.
Now, Baron Corbin and Stephanie McMahon, that's a heel promotion. SmackDown was a face
saying.
Promotion.
Yeah, yeah, I see what
kind
you're saying.
Of.
Yeah. Anyway, Balor won.
Yeah, I thought it got good near the end.
Good by the end.
Because
of it.
Finn is great.
Yes.
I like the finish as well. Misses the coup de grace because Dolph rolls out the way, but then Finn just rolls him up.
Yeah.
I like that. Stephanie then tells Balor backstage that they'll have to work together on Sunday because Finn's going to be teaming with Drew and Dolph.
Because it's very important we beat SmackDown.
And this is where I was like, I really don't like Stephanie on my screen. I'm really sick of her already. She just returned.
She's been back an hour.
Yeah. But the Finn addition, I mean, he's going to be badly treated and just eliminated pretty quickly, I imagine. But I like the idea of Finn and Braun together because I really enjoyed their budding relationship earlier in the year. Do you remember that? Where they had the tag team almost and then they had a few singles matches and Finn took Braun to the limit and he showed him respect.
Yeah, I remember.
I like that, but you know, WWE don't seem to. Do you want to take this? Oh, sorry.
My other point is going, bloody Steve, man. The other thing I was going to say as well that I was really, because I, as I said, I didn't enjoy the show much, but that Finn Balor versus Dolph match, that came in the second hour of the show. So that means the first hour of Raw had one match.
The Battle Royal.
Does not count. That does not count. They had one match, and it was Ember Moon versus Tamina. One match in an hour.
Mm.
Good crikey. This show was so talk heavy. There were five matches overall in 3 hours. And yeah, so then we get another talking segment. So we got a recap of Becky's promo on SmackDown. And then you cut backstage, and Ronda's there watching it. She's with Charlie Caruso. And Ronda says, yeah, that's right, Becky is the man. You know, I wasn't trying to offend her. I was just pointing out that I can do arm bars. And then, it turned into a really weird thing where essentially Vince McMahon wrote, like, the words of Vince McMahon left Ronda's mouth where she just started calling Becky. She's not the man, she's the millennial man. You just want everything handed to you. You're all about entitlement. You're all about this. And it's Vince's words. Ronda's a millennial. She's 2 days younger or older than Becky. They're basic. They are the exact same age. They're both millennials. This makes no sense. I hate the term millennial. I hate it so much because it's used so incorrectly. It's never used the right way. When it was first used by the media, they were talking about the generation that came after us. Now, they're still talking about millennials. Only now they are talking about us, but it's always like, God, all they want to do is buy a house, but they can't, and they moan about it. Yeah, because we can't buy houses. I hate the word millennial so much.
I did think of you when it popped up in the promo, because I was looking forward to how you'd react.
I hated this with a passion. It makes Ronda so unlikable.
Yeah, especially because, so millennials are everyone born between 1982 and 2001.
Or 2000, I think it is. Some people say it's 1980 to 2000.
Okay, so that's like
that period.
And that's like sociologists giving names to generations of people, which typically go in 20-year periods. It's Gen Zers, anyone who's born after 2001, I suppose. Before then, it was Generation Y.
Yes.
Which is like, what, Fight Club? That's Generation X, so that's even
that's
the one
before
that, then.
Yeah. So the birth of toxic masculinity.
Yeah, and the majority of WWE's viewers are millennials.
Yes, they really
are. They're our age, 18 to 35.
And further to that, people are getting behind Ronda. People are getting behind Becky, I should say, because Becky is right when she says, other people have been handed opportunities and I've had to work for mine. I've had to scratch and claw my way to get to this championship. I've had to scratch and claw my way for this company to notice me. So the crowd are responding to that because, like, yeah, you're right. Because over these years, we've been wanting a Becky Bush, and now finally we're getting it because she's worked so hard to get there. Whereas Ronda's walked in, they're like, oh, you're already a reality TV star. You're a big star. Here's the title. And then Ronda's sitting there going, like, anyone who thinks that Becky is right is an idiot. And she's supposed to be the babyface as well.
Yeah.
So she's then crapping on the people who are behind Becky. That doesn't work. That doesn't make Ronda endearing. But I'd imagine that Vince thinks it does.
Yeah, because he it seems like he has difficulty getting outside his own head. Yeah. Everyone hates millennials.
Exactly.
Even millennials, right?
Yeah, because he's like 1,001 years old. So he just thinks
he's generation one. So, I mean, like, it didn't irk me as much. It's totally thematically wrong.
Yeah, I think it damages Ronda.
Yeah. But not massively. It's just like you picked up on a specific point that is wrong, but
thing.
You are blowing it up.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
What is
my job here.
What is far more annoying, to me at least, is Nia Jax and Tamina surrounding her afterwards. Going,
oh, I thought you were talking about the next segment.
And they're like, good luck, champ. And I'm just like, oh my God. This is the feud. I forgot. This is the feud. I'm enjoying this Becky Ronda thing so much. I want to see that for the next, month, and then expand it out over a 6-month storyline. But we're not getting that.
No.
We're getting Tamina and Nia Jax.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Probably through Royal Rumble.
Maybe, yep. Probably through to Elimination Chamber.
I don't want it. So next up, we had another talking segment. Yep. Ruby Riott, flanked by her squad, come down to the ring. And she introduces. But I didn't mind this. It was like, here's what happened last week. Because it was all part of a mock apology when she snapped Jim the Anvil Neidhart's sunglasses in front of Natalya. That just weirdly ended. That called off the match. An act so devastating last week. And she pretends that she's apologizing.
Did you buy this?
Of course not. But no one ever did.
Well, you've bought a couple of them before.
the
first time they did this, and it was sort of good, like back when Alexa Bliss did it at Elimination Chamber, and I was like, oh man, I nearly bought into that. But then when they've done it the 20,000 times since, at this, I rolled my eyes as soon as Ruby started. I was like, come on now.
Yeah, it's...
No one could be buying this.
I don't think you were meant to, though, because, like, Bliss...
Then why do it?
Because, like, all the time they're saying, I'm so sorry. Like, no, you're not sorry. Boo, that's heel heat.
Oh, and it generated so much heel
heat.
Well,
that's a different thing. On paper, I think.
Like, if she'd have just come out and just been like, I did it because I'm a dick and Jim's rubbish and you're all idiots for liking Natalya.
So at the end of that Walter-Will Ospreay match, which everyone should go and see, Walter drops the title and goes, oops, sorry. I'm so sorry I dropped your title.
Yeah.
God, I hope he never watches my impression of him. And it's obvious that he is doing that because he's not sorry. No. So it's the same thing. And concept is right.
Yes, but people genuinely dislike Walter in that promotion.
Yeah, well, that's not this template of
then
promo.
But then you can't do this template of promo.
Nothing.
Then.
That is a fundamental thing. Nothing's going to work.
Because like, if people aren't against Ruby for her actions because they didn't come out to a massive reaction, then this is never going to work. Mm. So just do something different.
It's weird because I think this is... I mean, it's a good idea going after someone's real-life dead father who just passed a couple of months ago.
Yep.
But it's not connecting emotionally with the audience. But she did have a killer line, I thought. She said Jim wore sunglasses because he was ashamed to look at his own daughter.
Yeah, but then she also had that moment where she was like, she turned those happy memories into nightmares.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
Then Natalya can't take any more of this. For once, the babyface kind of outsmarted the heels. Music plays, but she attacks them from behind. Numbers game too much. They hit the heart attack.
An awful heart attack
yeah.
as well.
And then you're like, well, shouldn't Sasha Banks and Bayley run down to help Natalya?
We need that 6-woman tag at some point, right?
And that is a logic hole. I don't care, though. I don't want that to happen anymore.
I wrote in my notes, Bayley and Banks make the save. And I was stunned that I had to delete them, but I was also thrilled I had to delete them.
Speaking of thrilled, don't worry about that tag team battle royal. They are real. I genuinely thought they were just going to not do that. And because it's to decide the captaincy. Who cares anyway? But they have the tag team battle royal, Revival, Chad Gable and Bobby Roode, Lucha House Party, Ascension, Heath Slater and Rhino and the B team. And it comes down to Gable and Roode versus the Ascension. Gable hits this awesome moonsault onto Victor while Roode has Victor in sort of like a reverse neckbreaker.
And a neckbreaker, yeah.
And they
great.
Both hit it at the same time. That was
really,
cool.
Really cool. If you're going to just do the tag team battle royal again later in the show, why do it at the start?
Mm.
Like, why make them all look like jokes at the start and then bring them out later and be like, now care?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work.
It's not going to work, is it?
They say Gable and Roode won. Well, hey, they're the captains. And I was like, well, will they choose the teams then? What's the point of being a captain? And why would they have a match to care? And then the graphic says they'll be captaining this team at Survivor Series. I'm like, so the team was already... What?
Well, I think they picked it during the break. But the only people who aren't a team are Heath Slater and Rhino.
Yeah, because there's six teams in.
Yeah, it's Revival, B Team, Gable Rood, Loser House Party, and Ascension.
Why would they pick the Ascension?
Well, why would Alexa Bliss pick Natalya? Why would Baron Corbin pick Braun? This is why I hate Survivor Series. It stops storylines. It's all storylines stop dead in their tracks so we could do this stupid pay-per-view that no one cares about. I'm with Vince McMahon 5 years ago. Scrap Survivor Series. Get rid of it.
I am not looking forward to the 5 and 100 hour pay-per-view just to get to one match at the end of this.
It's so funny as well because someone tweeted me this morning saying, I can't wait to hear you rant about this show. And I was like, I don't think it was rant-worthy. Mm. And yet here I am. My palms are sweaty.
Then we got Brock Lesnar.
For more talking.
Comes out with Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman does his usual, it's a spoiler, Brock's going to beat AJ. This is like the big Brock-AJ rematch from last year. Champion versus champion. It's a Lesnar match. That's a big deal. And the go-home angle was Jinder Mahal coming out, reminding everyone that he was that was not a fever dream. He was WWE champion. He was going to face Brock Lesnar at last year's Survivor Series. But he was too focused on that match and then he lost to AJ when he lost the belt to AJ. So he wants to help Brock focus. And to do that, meditation. I got a kick out of this segment. I thought it was funny. I just wish it was 4 weeks ago. This is your go-home show.
I know.
And like, so Jinder's out there with the Singh brothers and Paul Heyman said, no, we're not going to have you in here. And Brock, for once, speaks and says, nah, come in.
And then has this really weird line where he says to Paul, you should hear this, after all, you're Jewish.
I didn't pick that up. Did he say that?
Yeah, it's to Paul.
Does Brock know what Jewish is? Is he confusing what meditation and Eastern mysticism and
I don't know. I had to rewind the line a few times because I had to like turn up the volume because I had to make sure. Did he say that? I mean, he did. I don't know why.
Do you think Brock's there going, these guys are probably, I'm not even going to get it. I'm not even going to put racist words in someone's mouth.
Brock kills them all.
Yeah, it goes a few breaths, a few shanties. Yeah. Brock lobs everyone everywhere.
It's fun watching Brock throw around smaller people. One of the Singh brothers took an awful landing, landed right on his head.
It's like good old days. It's like August 2017. And then we got to decide the last place in the men's Survivor Series team. Not Bobby Roode versus Elias, like my notes say, but Bobby. I do this every week. Bobby Lashley versus Elias.
Yeah.
Bobby now has sunglasses indoors.
That's going to generate genuine heat because that is a dick move.
Yeah. Unless Ruby gets hold of them.
This is like when Brock Lesnar was ordering steak well done.
He did look
true
like a...
True heel move.
Yeah, he did look like a total knob. And
It's better than him pointing to his butt, which he did again here. Want to get... This is for an audience of one. This is for Vince McMahon, who is uproariously laughing backstage. He probably thinks this is the funniest thing. No, Ollie Davis, come on, mate.
Look, it's so stupid. And the first time you see it, you're like, this is nonsense. I'm an adult and I'm watching this show. What have I done with my life? But I watch it. I've kind of gotten over that. And it happened again. And I was kind of like, they're doing this again. This is stupid. And it's so lame that I did find myself smirking. It's just such like a, here's my butt.
Yeah, and one of the things I do like about this is that he points to his butt to one side, but then will turn around so he can point to his butt on the other side. He's like, well, you didn't see what I was pointing to. It's my butt.
It's the Hulk Hogan. Yeah, you know, you got to work all sides of the ring, brother.
Yeah, totally.
I am baffled by Lashley's ability to take these awful ideas, perform them awfully, and within a week I'm enjoying them. My man, sisters.
Bobby sisters.
My beautiful family. Like, what is it? Why is it Bobby Lashley who has this unique skill?
It's because he stopped. Like, Brian Alvarez always used to say that wrestlers get their best when they stop caring. Batista was his most entertaining in WWE when he stopped caring. when he was heel Batista and he just went out there and was like, I don't really care about this anymore. I want to leave. He was the best he'd ever been. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the level we're at with Bobby now. He's dead behind the eyes. He does not want to be here. He has stopped caring. And maybe that is going to make it entertaining.
He's injured. He just wants to go home, reportedly. He was told, he said this in interviews, that he's getting the big Brock Lesnar match. That hasn't happened.
Has not happened.
Yeah.
Elias came out, though, and he was genuinely very funny. This was a really, really good Elias segment. Walk with Elias has traveled as well, with the Seven Nation Army, so that's nice.
Yeah, you're welcome, America. Yeah. You can do a chant that isn't based around three syllables anymore.
Come to any of our other shows. We've got loads of different chants to songs popular 10, 15 years ago. I once covered Seven Nation Army when I was in high school. It would have been secondary school. It was my secondary school band.
I think everyone did, just by accident at some point.
Oh, pretty much.
Point.
Because, especially as the drummer, because it's just dum, 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 dum. It's very easy. But Elias calls Child Protection Services. Because there is a man in the ring and he has stolen a child. And he has this moment where he's like, "How old, son, how old are you?"
It was really
genuinely
good.
Very good delivery. And he was like, he goes, he can't be any more than 10.
Yeah. Like Elias's comedic delivery here was excellent. And his guitar strum is now the glass shattering thing. Like, I'll be hating this segment. Come on, when will it end? I'm in, yes, come on, it's Elias time. He's really gotten that over. And I thought this turned into a match between the two for the last place on the Men's Survivor Series team. And this wasn't amazing, it was very short, but Elias did have an attempt at showing more babyface fire. See, he threw Bobby into the corner, mm-hmm. even like came back around and went, come on. He did the flex.
I mean, it was a match. I was thrilled at this point. Mm. It's our fourth match of the evening.
Yeah, and it went a whole 2 minutes.
We're 3 hours in.
It goes hardly any time. They're outside. Bobby gets back in. Referee's counting. Elias goes to get inside. Leo Rush comes up from under the ring and holds Elias's leg, meaning he loses.
Another non-clean finish. Mm. We only really got one clean finish in this whole show, and it was the Battle Royal.
And that means something.
And that had been done twice.
Elias got to throw Rush around a bit afterwards, though. Yeah. Which was
and it
fun.
Was really cool as well, because not only did he throw Elias, he threw Elias into a suicide dive onto Bobby Lashley. That was cool.
Mm.
But Bobby Lashley...
He threw Rush.
What did I say?
He threw Elias.
Sorry, Elias threw Rush. Then. Yeah. Sorry, I confused myself, apparently. But yeah, Bobby Lashley is now on the Survivor Series teams. Poor lad is injured. He wants some time off. And they keep putting him in matches.
That don't mean anything.
No.
It's like, yeah, look at that lineup. You've got Bobby Roode. I mean, Drew and Dolph, Braun
you
and
Finn. You
said
Bobby Roode again. It's Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley. Like,
this is why Vince never likes people with the same name, because idiots.
I've got to agree with that. I've tried. It's just like, I like those guys in the match, but it's not an inspiring combo.
Also, Elias is genuinely over. Why is he not on the pay-per-view?
Yeah, totally.
Like, you're trying to get him over as a babyface. So why put someone over? Like, I don't know. I would have preferred Elias to be on the show. And then he's over at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. Then we got a Veterans Day montage thing, which had... This is the last bit we're going to talk about, but I just want to bring it up. Don't worry, I'm not going to rag on Veterans Day. And then you had like the Alexa Bliss stuff and the Becky SmackDown Invasion stuff after mm-hmm. that. But a couple of WWE superstars go to visit a veterans hospital. Those superstars are Mickie James, Titus O'Neil, Apollo Crews, and Dana Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
All there just because that's Titus Worldwide.
No.
They're just walking around now like they were never a thing.
Well, it's,
they didn't even mention it on commentary.
Well, it's not real, is it? It's out of kayfabe, mate.
Anyway, I gave it. You're going to be surprised by this. Good. I thought the end segment was so good, and it actually made me want to watch Survivor Series, and it's made like a money program. I cannot. That is a flawless go home angle, apart from Charlotte. Gave it core.
That is shocking.
I tell you. If that angle wasn't there, it was poor.
Well, I think this show, I would have given this a high poor or a low average, because yes, that segment was awesome and Becky was awesome, but that 5 minutes could not make up for the 2 hours 55 that came before it. 5 matches in this 3-hour show. Very little was actually like dedicated to in-ring wrestling. It was so much talking, so much stuff to build to stuff that does not matter. Because come next week, not a lot of this will matter. And that's infuriating to me. But I loved the Becky Lynch stuff. I thought Becky was so, so good. But even that had the issues with the angle, because that rendered some of the storylines doing on SmackDown meaningless. And then they're all on Twitter going like, we're all best friends. I'm like, why are you all best friends?
Under Siege. That's why.
Hated Under Siege as well. Hate that they're all wearing the same t-shirts. And there's going to be loads of them come this Sunday. So I didn't think it was a good show. But I will say the angle was very good. And I just think that angle was so good, it has clouded some people's vision into thinking the rest of the show was fine. Oh, someone called this the best Raw of the year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is poppycock. That is codswallop.
Yeah, I'm not letting it cloud my judgment.
I mean, because you gave it core.
Well, I'm fully aware how bad the rest of the show was. Yeah. But I think this is so good, it raises the overall average. Like, the Becky stuff is in awe.
Yes.
It's flawless.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not counting. I said Becky. I said Becky.
So I got this email on October 8th from Nicolo Mandado, who got in touch with us. He's been in touch with us every now and again before. I said, hi, Luke, Ollie and Laurie. I hope everything is going well with you this Monday. In Italy, we have a tradition that whenever someone moves, we buy a nice present to wish them good luck in the new place. So I thought about you moving the studio to a new place, and I wanted to keep this tradition going. I think the best thing I can give you is food. I know Ollie came from Italy for his holiday and really enjoyed the food of Napoli.
Oh, my
God. I'd like to let you taste the food of my region. This is WrestleTalk. Eat better. So eventually I finally got in touch with him towards the end of October to say, like, sorry for late reply. We're a bit more settled in now. Here's the address. And then he has sent across and he's given us a list of what is in there.
Now, oh, my God. Okay, so this is a big package.
It's a big box. This is like, what's in the box? Levels are big.
Yeah, like Gwyneth Paltrow head big. And I
spoilers.
Was...
Spoilers?
Oh, come on. And I was like, okay, it's which, and we love getting wrestling merchandise and stuff. That's very kind. But I love Italian food.
You do.
Now I know that big box is full of Italian food.
Yes. So,
I am so excited.
Before we get to what's in the box, dear UPS, they could not find our address. They could not deliver to our office. I mean, everyone else manages it, so yeah. I don't know what UPS's problem is, but that's Luke shoots on UPS for this week, because I had to go to a collection point and get it myself, and it was raining a lot, so thanks, lads. Everyone else manages it. Anyway, so, okay.
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
So we've
So this is,
let me find the list of things
we've
got.
You know I'm taking all of this, you're getting none of this.
Well, I mean, some of it I can't eat.
Yes.
This is, I'm going to guess this is bread.
And that's a kind of Italian Christmas cake, isn't it?
A soft bakery cake. You're right. Christmas is approaching, and we are worldwide famous for Pantone. This is something similar. Or maybe this is the... okay.
You get this in Carluccio's. Oh, wow. Oh, what beautiful packaging as well.
Holy heckins!
Is that dried meat? Oh, holy... Oh, good God.
Yeah, this is half sorpresa. It's made by pork. Just skip your vegetarian dates on how it works.
Oh, my God.
This you
oh my God.
Actually need to cut. A big knife is a nut. Cut it like salami. This is a massive chunk of dried beef. Or like, dried pork.
However you think my penis looks, half that in size. And that's how big this is.
And we've also got...
Oh, my God.
This ginormous slice of
cheese
from brackets from our mountain. That I can have, and I'm very much looking forward to.
No, you can't have this, Luke.
Of course I can.
No. So they line it with meat sometimes. I'm being serious. You can't have any of this food.
I can have this.
Oh, food. My God. This is, like, guys, this is big. All of this stuff you're hearing is massive.
Aha, so this is the biscuit-like bread.
Oh, God.
It's easy to understand when you see it. It looks like a roll, like a white roll, but it's like crystallized.
Do you want one of these now?
Well, he kind of tells us we should eat it while we're on the air. And then...
We're not going to... Everything else looks like it might spoil if we open it, but I'm going to have one of these biscuit breads.
Mm-hmm. So,
I like a crisp.
Ellis and John on Radio X have a segment that is called Tick Off a Taste, where they are trying to tick off all the tastes in the world.
Mm.
And people essentially just send them in food from around the world for them to eat. And I thought, while getting ready for this segment, I was like, this is going to be like our version of Tick Off a Taste.
They're like breadsticks, these are.
Oh, if they are, because I love breadsticks.
What a boring thing to enjoy.
Well, it's like a breadstick.
But a different shape.
Mm. And it's also delicious. Oh, they're Moorish.
Oh, my God.
Crikey. I might eat a lot of those. Right. Congratulations on your packaging as well. You have really...
Oh, this is the last thing.
I think this is the
last thing. That's in no way... Is this wine? Is that a box of wine?
I'm getting to it. Hold on.
Or olive oil. Balsamic vinegar also works for me.
Hold on.
Is it heavy?
It is quite heavy. I mean, I know what it is. So I'm going to let you open it. Because I've opened everything else. It
feels like wine. Yes. Oh, beautiful.
So this is two bottles of
white wine.
One red and one white.
Oh,
and they are from Nia, where...
Look at that.
So, yeah, so this is... Oh, sorry, I'm going to have another one of these biscuit things.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Mm.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me.
One of these is an organic wine.
My suggestion, this is back to Nakauda, my suggestion is to eat the sopressa with bread and cheese. If Ollie, brackets the boss, allows you, drink the wine too. You won't regret it.
Oh, God.
So thank you so much for sending that across. What a wonderful... A wonderful little gift for our office here. I mean, as I said, like, I've gone vegetarian, but good Lord, this meat looks absolutely delightful.
There's only one way to measure that kind of meat in a word. That is a hunk.
It is, yes.
It's a hunk of meat.
I'll take a photo of this and I'll put it up onto the WrestleTalk Twitter. I'll get Datsun to do it because I don't have access. So
that
we can
hopefully encourage more people to
send us gifts. thank you very, very much for sending that across. It's very much appreciated, and it will be very much enjoyed because it's a good like celebration for us to get ready for our show that we're going to do this this evening.
Do you like wine?
Very much so.
Okay. Do you like white or red? We should probably split it.
I'm a red man.
Okay.
Although my wife is a white wine fan, so maybe...
Uncultured. Okay, so, we'll divvy this up later. Christ alive, though. Thank you so much. It's also big.
It is also... yeah, it really, really is.
I feel like a tiny person. it's like, you know when you watch films from the 70s and they go shopping and they get boxes of cereal that come up to your waist and washing detergent that's the size of... five times the size of the ones you'll buy now. Italy appears to still be in that kind of quantity of boxes.
Absolutely.
This cheese.
Holy hell, that cheese
okay,
is big.
Okay, that is the equivalent of, I'd say, 7 Dairyly Circle things.
Mm-hmm. I'd say more than that.
Yeah, probably more.
Because those Dairyly things are tiny, mate.
Oh, the whole circle?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Baby Bells. Sorry.
You don't deserve this cheese.
Before we get out of here, I just want to get this quick email here from Harry Iverson. I'm beating the bread thing now. I don't think people are sick of hearing us chew on this.
Just wait till I start chewing on the bread.
It's amazing Foley work, though, I will say. Hi, Luke, Laurie and Ollie. I'm writing this email to say I won't be at the Wrestle Along on Tuesday.
Come on.
Not that I bought a ticket. I'm just gutted I can't go to meet you guys. I have the day off as well, but my shift starts the next day at 5 a.m. Sorry, I've just got some of that bread come up. On my throat's cold in the back of my throat. I need some water.
You sound emotional.
Sorry, excuse
me. I mean, I'm beaten up. Harry can't be here either. Yeah. So
my shift the next day starts at 5 a.m., so I would not be able to make it down to London from Newcastle. I would have loved to be there, and I'm sure it'll be an awesome time. You guys have helped put a smile on my face and helped me forget all the negative things that are troubling me, whether it be feeling bullied or victimized at work or the stress of my grandpa being put in care from having a stroke and going from an independent woman who needed no assistance to needing nearly 24 hours at the click of a finger. When I feel down, I simply watch one of your videos or listen to the podcast, and I instantly forget my troubles, and I smile and laugh. You lads make me look insane out loud when I'm laughing on the phone. And when I listen to the podcast, I feel as though I'm listening to my friends just talk about wrestling, and I feel like yous have made friends with all the SWAF Nation, whether it be with silly little jokes on the podcast or just a good ramble about anything you guys have ended up doing. Anyway, it puts a smile on my face. I wish I could show you my appreciation by making something or coming up with something, but I'm not artistic or creative. But to show my appreciation, I will try my best to perform Nakamura's song on the bass. It will be a phone shop video, so apologies for the naff quality in advance. Sorry for the long email, I just wanted you to know how much you mean to me. Hopefully I will meet you all in person one day. Thank you for never stop rambling. You don't have to read this out. I just thought I would show you my appreciation. P.S. I will try to get the video to you before the Prince Charles Cinema show. Sincerely, Harry, love you. Goodbye. Well, thank you very much, Harry, and hope everything goes okay with you and with your grandparent, your grandmother, and your awful job by the sounds of it.
Yeah, you should, you know, take them to a tribunal or something. And we are your friends.
Absolutely.
We're everyone's friends.
Yes.
But if you want to become our best friend, food. Yeah. Like I can't wait to see the bass guitar thing, but I didn't know how much I'd like to receive in food.
I didn't foresee you getting this excited about
it. I think I'm hungrier than I thought I was.
Yeah.
And I love Italian food. So, yeah, like a jar of Dolmio.
Don't send a jar of Dolmio, for God's sake. Don't eat Dolmio, period. It's awful. It's got so much bad stuff in there for you.
Oh, it's so bad.
But it is bad.
Just
make it from scratch. It's not that hard. Just a jar of passata and some basil and oregano. It's all you need.
I'm a working single mother of four. I don't have time to make a fresh ingredients bolognese every day, Luke.
Actually, quicker. Christopher Jenkins has emailed in.
Hello, Jenkins!
Hey, here's a joke for the podcast that Ollie probably won't laugh at. And this will be good because he's got lots of food in his mouth. Mahatma Gandhi, as you know, walked barefoot most of the time, which produced an impressive set of callus on his feet. He also ate very little, which made him rather frail. With his odd diet, he suffered from bad breath. This made him a super calloused, fragile, mystic hexed by halitosis. Super callous, fragile, mystic, hexed by halitosis. So that is all we've got time for on this show.
No. Let them hear.
This has been, I'd imagine, for us, one of the best outros ever. But for anyone listening, one of the grossest outros they've ever heard on any podcast ever. This has been so much mastication. Oh, stop, that's gross.
What was that, folks?
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Niccolo for sending us these wonderful, wonderful gifts. We're going to go eat some of them in the office now. We'll be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review. But remember, please do come down to the Prince Charles Cinema tonight. You've got plenty of time if you're in London and listening to this podcast because it will be up in the afternoon. So please do come on down. We're looking forward to seeing each and every one of you there. I'm sure on tomorrow's show we're going to have some fun stories to tell about it. But until then...
Or it'll go terribly.
Or it'll go awful. Until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.